This episode of The Wiggle Room on Rob Has a Podcast is sponsored by our friends over at Bet Online. Currently, no NBA, no NHL, no MLB. You might think that there's nothing to bet on. Well, you'd be wrong. Our exclusive partner, Bet Online, still has hundreds of events, games, and props to wager on, from online casino to poker and blackjack, as they are bringing the Vegas to you. If you're missing the NFL, no problem. Bet Online has daily Madden, NFL 20 simulations you can wager on. If you're into entertainment betting, you can still bet on Survivor, American Idol, stock prices, even the Nathan's hot dog eating contest. And if you're a UFC fan, UFC 249 is coming up May 9th. Stay tuned to the end of this podcast. You're going to hear former MMA star Chael Sonnen and Bet Online's Dave Mason talk all about UFC 249. That's going to be at the end of this podcast. Visit the website or use your mobile device and join today to receive your new welcome bonus. Bet Online, your online wagering solution. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner, Podcast One, Bet Online, to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and make sure to use that promo code Podcast One for your sign up bonus. Visit betonline.ag and don't forget your promo code Podcast One for your sign up bonus. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Check it out.
Josh.
Yeah, that's right. The Wiggle Room is back. Oh. Week number 12, Survivor Wigglers at War. Here he is, the man to help us break down the storylines here as we are less than 2 weeks away from the finale. In fact, we are but 9 days away.
That's
nine
crazy.
9 days. Here is the great Josh Wiggler.
Rob, you and I were talking over the weekend about stuff, and then we were talking about, oh yeah, so the Survivor episode, I was asking when the finale was, because we were starting to like do some forecasting, and I really thought we had an extra week. I can't believe, so this is the last regular week of Survivor, and then next week's the finale? That's insanity.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. And this isn't even a regular week. This is a 2 hour
episode.
This is a 2 hour.
There's no more regular Survivor.
Yeah, that is actually true.
Just supersized and that's it.
Yeah. 2 hours this week, 3 hours next week, and then it's going to be it for a minute.
Yeah. Well, you think probably more than a minute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, but what's going to happen? Survivor 40
the way
ends,
I said
and then
minute.
A minute.
I think there was
suggestive.
Like
suggestive.
There.
Yeah. There's a little bit of a longer tail than just the
right,
1 minute.
Right, like it won't be like a new episode at 11:01 on Wednesday.
Right.
Yeah.
That'd be
anyway,
wild though. What if they had secretly shot a season and then they started
dropped it on us, Beyonce
yeah,
style?
Beyonce
That'd
does.
Be huge.
Yeah, they just tossed that down like lemonade, Survivor lemonade.
That'd be huge. Okay.
Have you ever had Survivor lemonade before?
I want to say I think so.
Yeah,
I'm trying to remember
I guess
was
it wasn't so memorable
when I went on the barbecue reward with Mateo.
Hmm.
I want to say I think it was.
It was lemonade?
You'd have to go back and ask Chester, one of those guys that just recently rewatched the season.
Well,
and
I don't think I'll ask
there.
Chester, but someone else can then report back to me.
Yeah, maybe save that for Ask Chester Anything. All right. Uh-huh. Josh Wiggler, here we are, ready to go. And what a thrill last week was with Jonathan Penner and Stacey Title. So well received. People loved it.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
It was awesome. That was one of the most enjoyable podcasting experiences of my entire podcasting career. It was also one of the most emotional, but like both in like that cathartic sense of emotional, but also emotional in the sense of like I felt a lot of different emotions, including joy. I felt love. I felt like sad at points. And then I also felt like deep shame at certain points. Once we were like articulating what the wand off was, it was like deeply embarrassing at certain points.
Yeah.
Like very, very, very awkward. It's like, oh, here, we've got the legendary Jonathan Penner. We have Stacey Title here, and we're speaking to them with the ghost of Casey Kasem and trying to do this with a quasi-serious
face. Yeah, that was embarrassing.
It was
people told me they had secondhand embarrassment for me.
Yeah, I was one of them. And I had secondhand and third hand and fourth hand embarrassment for myself.
Yeah, I kind of thought that Penner would have, like, listened to an episode beforehand, and I wouldn't have to explain it, like, on the fly.
It was better this way. It was much better this way. Yeah. It was much better this way. I had such a good time.
You're who now?
Yeah.
You're what?
And then him just eviscerating poor Aaron and Nick at the
poor
end.
Aaron Robertson, yeah.
It was unbelievable. Moment. Iconic moment.
Racket for best of 2020.
It is incredible.
Great stuff.
We dropped that podcast, Rob, at like 11:30 p.m. on Monday night last week. And I know that because that is roughly around the time that I started getting people sliding into my DMs about these Penner shirts that I offered to buy.
Yeah, well, let's just reset that in case anybody missed that part or skipped ahead to the wand off last week, that there is a t-shirt that is a fundraiser for ALS that Tony Vlachos worked with a designer to get this t-shirt made up. It features Jonathan and Stacy and the entire cast of Survivor 40. And you made a very magnanimous gesture that you offered to buy 40 of those shirts. You already had your own. You offered to buy 40 of those shirts for the first 40 people to slide into your DMs and ask for them.
And it was done within 2 hours of the podcast dropping.
Yeah.
It was crazy. You dropped it at 11:30, and I was getting ready to like settle in to play some of my Final Fantasy VII Remake. Mm-hmm. I've been going through it and playing some scenes on hard mode. And I'm getting my ass whooped in the game, and suddenly I get a notification on my Instagram DMs being like, yo, you got any of them shirts? You got any of those shirts? And then, like, another person, and it just kept happening, and by 1:30 in the morning, all 40 were claimed. And then I was up until 3:30 just filing the orders. And so I think all of them are out at this point.
You filed the orders on Monday night?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just stayed up because I was like very excited. I thought this was great.
Yeah,
it's like, let's just get this done. Let's do it.
Did you were you able to do like a bulk order? Or did you have to go to the website 40
no,
times
I did it
and then
individually.
Type in each person?
I did it individually. Wow. I did it individually, and it took me a minute to realize. It took me two orders to realize, like, oh, these two people now have my address. Oh, these two people now have the last four digits of my credit card.
Company didn't call you.
Oh, well, there were some fraud alerts that I had to. I had to say, this isn't fraud. This is real. I had to get on the phone with Ken of the shop the next day to be like, yeah, I'm real. This wasn't just like a strange, like, you know, robot that's like sending you all these shirts.
No,
shirt
Ken,
orders.
Maybe it's not suspicious for him that there were 40 orders, but I got to feel like the Josh Wiggler banking.
Yeah, they reached out to me too, and I was like, no, we're good. We're all right. This is all real.
Sir, did you intend to make 40 of the identical purchases tonight?
It was all real.
Yes, I did.
I had to like say this is not fraud on three separate text alerts over the course of the hours that I was buying the shirts. But it was all done. They're all sent out. I believe that they're all sent out, or they're at least in the process of being sent out. I've seen a lot of delivery notifications, and I've gotten some people sending me pictures with the shirts. So I'm thrilled it happened. And then like even as late as yesterday, I still had some people being like, do you still have any of those 40 shirts? It's like,
no,
long gone at this point. But I think like it got some other people buying the shirts, and that's great.
Good.
Great cause. You're supporting the Penners, supporting the fight against AOS. Really, really great stuff.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So, Josh, that it was another week of, like, once Tony, the toothpaste was out of the tube, there may not be any putting him back in.
Once he pop, you know, this is the Pringles plot, you know, he's out.
He's out
like the mustachioed Pringles man, Mr. Pringles. Does he have a name? The Pringles mascot?
Pringles guy?
I don't know. Prince of Pringles.
Pete
he's
Pringle?
Out. Yeah, Pete Pringle. He comes multiple times a year.
Wow.
And once you pop him, it's over. So it seems like that's what's up with
Julius Pringles is his name.
Is that really his name?
Julius Pringles, a mustachioed man, was designed.
His
in
name
a,
is Julius.
Yeah.
Julius Pringles.
Yeah.
What a great name! I had no idea. What a fancy name for a potato chip mascot, Julius.
I call him Jules.
Yeah, I go by Julie.
Mm-hmm.
Like Julie my friend had an Uncle Julie.
Mm-hmm.
This is Uncle Julie Pringles,
Julie Wolf Pringles.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So anyway,
where do we go from
Pringles.
There? No, Tony's going nuts.
Yeah.
Tony's going crazy. Tony's popped off. Tony is on a 3-week immunity streak. That is, I mean, I think like as much as like Tony doing well on Survivor Winners at War, very low on the list of expectations heading into the season. Somehow even lower may have been like Tony winning an individual immunity challenge, let alone 3 in a row.
Mm-hmm.
This is a shock. This is a big surprise to me.
Yeah. No, this is wild. We ended up seeing Kim go out of the game. Thoughts on Kim 2.0?
Well, I know she's been getting dragged a bit for stepping off peanut butter and then getting voted out. And all I can say is that once upon a time, my favorite Survivor player when I was growing up watching Survivor did the same thing. And I'm glad to have a new person who's a favorite Survivor player being the avatar of stepping down for peanut butter and then getting voted out.
So works person.
Out. Works out.
You had a hole in your heart until then.
Yeah, so now it's filled once again. No, I love Kim. You know this about me.
Sure.
If you've listened to me talk about Survivor for any length of time, sentimental favorite, she's the winner of the season that brought you and I together, Rob, when we were talking One World back in the MTV days. So I have a huge place in my heart for Kim. And I think she had a very difficult road to travel this season. And the fact that she was able to make it this far is really impressive with the size of the target on her back. And I think it's probably pretty wise, certainly on Tony's part, to be going after Kim at this point. Kim is, you know, not really looking to play Survivor with Tony anymore. It's just like, I guess I've had a hard time processing it because like the thing that I've been, so much of my energy as a viewer has been, as a Survivor viewer, as much as I've like really been regarding it, has been spent trying to process what the hell happened at that tribal council. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's like helpful that they had the subtitles. And I think that that's a step in the right direction. If that stuff is already shot, you can't go back in the time machine and like modify the whisper rules for what has already been filmed. So the second best thing that you can do, that would be number one. But that's impossible. So the next best thing you can do is at least like subtitle it. So I'm really glad that they did that, but it's still really hard for me to follow. So I guess like I'm still trying to untangle all of that rather than really processing losing Kim at this point. But I'm just impressed that we had Kim for as long as we did, especially when she had such a rough start at the beginning of the game.
Yeah, she had a rough start. She was able to sort of salvage the season where it looked like that she was one of those first two people to go out of the game. She ends up sort of like righting the ship, but she never really ends up gaining control of in any way in this season.
Yeah, not really. Although that tribe of Jeremy, Tony, Kim, Denise, and who else was there? Was that
Sandra?
That was Sandra. So everybody but Sandra, like they've all really held on for a while until just now. So that's decent. I think it's impressive that she made it this far. I do question like going after Jeremy. I mean, I guess that must be a testament to Jeremy and Tony's actual closeness. Like those two must really be tight that she views going after Jeremy the right call there in terms of those power dynamics. I don't know. The whole thing was just wild to me. I'm just impressed that we had Kim for as long as we did.
Yeah, I think that the Jeremy thing just came down to that side wanted to do an easy vote. I think they felt like, okay, once we get Jeremy out of the picture, then Tony and Sarah and Ben are isolated. And I think that they had felt like that they at least had Nick working with them at that point where they're like, hey, like let's keep going with this four. And I think that they probably just thought it didn't even matter which of the four that they had. And I felt like that since Ben and Jeremy were fighting, that it seemed like, okay, well, this will be the easiest sell for Ben to maybe make a move that might not be in his best interest to.
But he voted with Jeremy, right?
Ultimately he did. He did. Tony flipped it around.
So what was that done at tribal council or was that a pre-tribal council thing?
I believe it was done at tribal council. And Shannon Gates had a really great breakdown of this on the feedback show this week that once Jeremy is talking about that, he's got the idol. And then I think they go to Ben with that information. I think Nick didn't want to go to a 4-4 tie. And so I think that Ben and Nick flipped their votes at tribal council.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, a live tribal.
That's my understanding of it. Live tribal.
There's a lot going on. A
lot going on there. Yeah. So they end up flipping to Kim, and then ultimately now, it's going to be interesting to see where it goes for Michelle and Denise.
Yeah. And I think like Denise being so staunchly in the let's vote for Jeremy camp, maybe a bit of a surprise given their history throughout the season up till now.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I mean, I think like if we are talking about like the Kagyan Tony and the game changer Sarah, then like probably the next move is to go after somebody that they're currently working with.
Yeah.
Right. Like well, as they just like kind of like work their way back up to the power seat, unless there is like some sort of Tony Sarah war that is yet to fully boil over. But they screamed at each other, or really it was more Sarah screaming at Tony. And I wonder how much that was theatrical. I would expect it is largely theatrical to some degree, probably like actually hot, like she's not happy about what just went down, but also maybe like really leaning into that to like scare Tony a little bit into like, don't make this like you've threatened like the personal now. It's not just professional. I imagine that like if Sarah does get voted out before the end, it's not like she's never going to talk to Tony again. I think that's a lot of hot air, but I think it's not that that's bad hot air to be blowing at Tony. I think it seemed effective where Tony's like, oh my God. All right, Sarah, calm down. All right, geez, it's just a game.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I think like it scared him a little bit. But then like the next scene, he's in his spy nest, the much ballyhooed spy nest that was only there for 5 seconds, which was a shame, that like she knows about it. And like they were just talking from the spy nest. So they seem to be totally legit now. So I don't know if there's a war brewing between those two. I don't know that I see it right now.
Yeah, were you surprised that they were able to patch things up so quickly, though? I mean, it was sort of hot in the immediate aftermath of the Tribal Council, but it seemed like, I mean, that my wife is like routinely way more mad at me than Sarah seemed to be at Tony like a couple hours after that Tribal Council.
This was, I don't know. I think that's why I wonder, like, how much was it theatrical? Like, you know, is she just like kind of like reaming him out? Dude, you know, is she just like giving him like the riot
dude,
act?
You know, but she's not like like winking wildly as she's yelling at him.
No, because I think like it would be a you know, this is tinfoil hat type stuff. This is tinfoil buff is like it's like you're simultaneously like screaming really loud so that everybody back at camp hears you. At the same time that you're screaming at Tony to make him feel like you are actually as furious as you are. And you were probably underneath all of that, legitimately not thrilled, but probably maybe not quite that angry. And so I think like it serves a few masters in that case. Yeah, that's what I mean. I think she was angry, but I don't know that she was like, you and I will never hang out ever again angry.
Mm-hmm.
I think these two are sticking around together for a while. I don't see, like, if that did not drive the wedge, like, the only thing that will is if one of them outright blindsides the other, as in, like, doesn't take out somebody close to Tony, Tony doesn't take out somebody close to Sarah, nobody makes a move that, like, kind of screws up the other person's game plan. It's an outright, I just took you out of the game.
Yeah,
that might drive the wedge, but that's literally it. And I'm having a hard time seeing that right now.
Do you feel like Tony and Sarah are final three or bust for their relationship?
Yeah, and I can really see the world where like the narrative of the season has been like pick your cop. Like this is Cops or Us, and it's the two of them at the end. Plus, I don't know who, and it's the two of them, and the choice really does come down to which like Kagyan alum played the better game. And I think you could make an argument for either one of them. I just say it again that like Sarah Lucina is a next level Survivor player. She's very, 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 very good at this.
But
this
do you feel like
is in her wheelhouse?
Does she need to knock out Tony to get the win?
I don't know that she needs to, because I think she does have the better social game. And if she can like really drag Tony at Final Tribal Council, and I think too. We've seen the two of them in Final Tribal Councils before, in separate Final Tribal Councils. Obviously, we've seen every single one of these people in a Final Tribal Council. And I think that Sarah defends herself in a much more powerful way, where like she really, really owns it. She's not afraid of the fight. She's not sort of like, you know, like apologetic about any of it.
Mm-hmm.
Where Tony is. You know, he's still trying to articulate himself, but he understands that, like, he's hurt. He doesn't have a great final tribal performance in Kageyan.
Right.
So I could imagine the two of them getting there, and let's say like they're there with like Nick, and no one's really voting for Nick, and they're just going to vote for either Sarah or Tony. And Sarah drags Tony in a way that Tony is not willing to drag Sarah, sort of like JT willing to drag Steven in a way that Steven is unprepared to drag JT.
Who could forget?
So I can imagine that. I think if the two of them are in tribal together, my money would be on Sarah Lucina having a better final tribal performance, mm-hmm. and with her having a better social game anyway, where she's not even considered a target this week, which is crazy if you're trying to get close to Tony and do some damage against Tony this week. Really speaks to the fact that she's got her hooks in a lot of people, even after they saw the Game Changers tape. So I don't think it's as simple as Tony and Sarah get to the end and Tony wins because he's Tony Vlachos. I would like to think I'd vote for Tony because it would be really fun if Tony wins Survivor twice is a crazy thing that's like a realistic prospect right mm-hmm. now. But I think that Sarah is as strong of a player, and the week before really highlighted that he's the trick man and she's the social game. She's the social assassin. We're the ones who named her the social assassin. So I think she could get to that final tribal with Tony, and I wouldn't necessarily in any world rule it out for Sarah.
Josh, I hope this isn't going to be a sore subject for you, but let's talk a little bit about the activity this week on the Edge of Extinction.
Sure. No, that's fine. It's here. It's real. Okay. It's happening.
Because I think that you've been, you were vocal at the time of I cannot like the Edge of Extinction, and I also can like what, the log challenge. I can hold these two thoughts in my head at the same time. So how did you feel about the coconut moving challenge?
It felt like the same thing that we had seen in the Ethan storyline, except less good.
Mm-hmm.
That's my take. Like, it felt like it was like the same activity that we had seen earlier in the season, and just without as epic of a story behind it. So it's a lot of time spent on that activity without an epic story, unless like you're really into Boston Rob is going to keep going past the buzzer. Because that's who Boston Rob is, and that's what Boston Rob cares about.
Yeah.
Even though he gets a bloody elbow, he's still going to go.
What they're going for here is we're going to make like an almost impossible task. Many will finish, but one person is going to struggle mightily, and we are going to focus on that story.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they did that already this season.
Mm-hmm.
I just think they did that. I think it already happened. They just did. I see we do these in the Facebook patron group sometimes. So we're in a live chat right now. And I see Davis, Will with the take. It was the same soup just reheated.
What soup?
It's a Mike Bloom and Liana question.
It's not the B&B?
No, that's not. I don't want to step on their turf. They can answer it next week if they haven't answered it already.
Okay.
It's the same soup just reheated. And I don't mean to be an edge hater. Like I'm really trying to be a lot more positive right now, Rob. We don't even know when Survivor is going to come back. What's the point of shaking your fist at the sky? I thought Jonathan Penner had the great point last week of what's the use of being the old man at the edge of the driveway screaming at the kids? Mm-hmm. Survivor's here right now. We've got two more weeks of Survivor, and that's amazing. Let's just enjoy it. I'm trying to rein in the ranting.
Okay, well that's good. That's very productive.
Let's have a good time. You know, I think it's better. Like, listen. When we live in a world where we've got a game plan where it seems like Survivor's going to start filming again and people are starting to make the moves to film the show and create the show and start going back out there and creative starts spinning mm-hmm. again, that's the time to be like, okay, well, here are some thoughts. Here's some thoughts about what can change. Right now, I don't always follow my own rules. I'm trying real hard to be a shepherd. I'm trying real hard to let's just enjoy this. It's just here. It's here while we've got it. Let's enjoy it while we've got it.
Okay. Josh, 2-hour episode coming up on Wednesday night.
So two people are going to get voted out, and then the finale, someone will get
come back in via Edge of Extinction. Yeah. Do you think that this was always the intention to have a 2-hour episode, or do you think that anything changed with the state of the programming lineup? Because typically, we have had before in a lot of these seasons in the 30s where we have the 1 hour episode, two boots. Do you think that this was something that maybe production fought for ahead of time, or this is something where that they said, hey, you know, let us play here because we have maybe some more room on the schedule?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question, and I don't know that I have a good answer. I can imagine the scenario where like they want to like have this epic, you know, sprint to the finish, and they have, you know, 5 hours of Survivor over the course of 2 weeks, especially as like they've been really packing these finales recently, mm-hmm. Over the past few years, because that now it really becomes an event.
Yeah, the two tribal councils in 1 hour, something that if you could imagine, we have complained about in the past. We get that in Millennials versus Gen X. I think that Will Wall and Sunday go home, two tribal councils in 1 hour. I think it also happens to Andrea. I want to say it's Michaela. I want to say it's the non-transferable tribal council is the second tribal council.
Yeah, that
happens,
sounds right.
That
sounds
in, right. In that hour. It kind of worked out okay two seasons ago where we had the two tribal councils in 1 hour with David Wright and Kelly Wentworth going home in one episode. So there are some times where you can fit it in and it doesn't feel too rushed, but at the end of the game here,
yeah, that would be a lot.
You want to see it.
Yeah, I guess what's surprising to me is maybe resisting the urge to break these two episodes up over the course of 2 weeks. Why not kick the can a little further down the road when, you know, new programming is, you know, so rare right now?
Yeah.
So I'm surprised that they wouldn't want an extra week out of the deal.
Yeah, that's a great question. We just don't know enough about the Survivor post-production and whether, you know, when were these episodes cut? Are they able to make changes to things in terms of like, you know, what is the state of Survivor post-production?
Right. Yeah. I would expect that they didn't start on this episode until sometime late March would be my guess, but that's just a guess, and Beat My Guest is a different podcast.
Sure.
But I don't know that for sure. But if like what they've been aiming for and if what they've been planning, and if there are ways in which they're breaking story that make sense, like within the context of a 2 hour episode, like this is going to sound ridiculous, but what if like they intend on having like a major payoff to the Winners at War song that's been seeded throughout the season?
Yeah,
that like it builds to this powerful moment that is like alluded to throughout the first hour of the 2 hour episode and then explodes at the end of the 2 hour episode. Like, yeah, you want to keep that 2 hour episode together. That's what you were working for.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that looks or sounds like. I vaguely know what that sounds like. But maybe it just does make sense that whatever's coming this week fits into a 2 hour package better. Like it maybe like in the way that they used to say, maybe Game of Thrones will have 7 seasons and then a series of movies is how they will close out the final run of Game of Thrones. Maybe Survivor Winners at War ends with, you know, 2 basically movie length episodes of Survivor.
Okay. All right. So we are going to just to talk about our own programming here. We'll have our regular wiggle room here after the after next week's episode, after the 2 hour episode, and then following the finale week, we'll be back with another wiggle room where I guess we'll talk about the finale.
Yeah,
sure.
I would like to.
Yeah. And then
that's a good thing to do.
Yeah, then we will also get into our final wand off. If you want to mark your calendar on May 18th, I believe.
Yes. So
2 weeks from today.
So this is the wiggle room on May 4th. And then on May 11th, there's going to be another wiggle room. And that's right before the finale.
Mm-hmm.
And on May 18th is when we will have the next wiggle room where we will do the final wand off of the season.
Yeah.
And that's where, like, if you made it into the final wand off, that's your cue. I mean, if we've got any good honorable mentions, I would take them. You know, who knows? To have a music extravaganza.
Yeah. Okay. And that will also include the Island of the Idols champion. So that might be a jam-packed final wand off coming up.
All right. I'll clear my calendar.
On May 18th. All right. Josh, anything else you want to say about Survivor for this week?
No, I'm sure if there's anything else to get into, we'll we'll get into it, like the whispers and all that stuff. I gotta imagine that's the a lot of what we're chewing on here in the wand off coming up.
Not particularly.
Really?
Spoiler. Yeah.
Oh, I'm surprised.
Yeah. You should write, you know, your own wand off and then see like the things that you would think that people would talk about.
Eh. I did that once.
Yeah, once upon a time.
Once upon a time.
By the way, we're closing out the week of Survivor podcasting, but really, I thought this was one of the great weeks that we had with my conversation with Ozzy.
I listened to a lot of that. I really liked that conversation. Ozzy's really fun to talk to. When I did the Game Changers preseason, he was one of my favorite interviews of that bunch. It was just really cool to like sit opposite Ozzy and hear this guy talk about Survivor, even though I like fundamentally disagree with a lot of the way that he plays the game, mm-hmm. and also fundamentally physically cannot do most of the things that he does.
Right.
It's still fun to like just sort of like hear him, you know, like kind of like dorm room philosophize on Survivor. I kind of love his brain. Big fan.
I just think he's like a very well-defined character in terms of like he has a certain like worldview, and it's like, okay, we get him as a character, you know, who he is as a person.
Totally agreed.
So that was very fun. And then I had a great breakdown on the feedback show with Shannon Gus as well.
And I haven't gotten a chance to listen to that, but it's been brought to my attention that you and Shannon discussed like the possibility of Survivor filming domestically. Is that correct?
So we were talking a little bit more about in terms of what is the schedule for Australian Survivor, because Australia is actually, from what Shannon was saying, they're actually, well on their way to, coming out of whatever phase they're in Australia. Yeah. There are very few new cases announced of coronavirus, but the problem would be to get to Fiji. And I had asked her if that I thought it was a possibility that they might be able to shoot a season of Australian Survivor in Australia, as they did once upon a time when you watched a person give up immunity for peanut butter.
Right. I mean, I don't know why that's not something that might be on the menu at some point for U.S. Survivor. Like, it hasn't happened before, obviously. Mm-hmm. But if, like, the question becomes, look, if we're doing, like, Saturday Night Live via Zoom now, you know, it's not that big of a leap.
Do you want to talk that through? Of like, okay, could Survivor ramp up a production for a season that would take place in the U.S.?
Not until things are a lot safer. Right. You know, right. Okay. Things are
all right. But let's say hypothetically,
talk about a safer world.
Hypothetically, yeah. International travel is off the table. OK,
right.
So now it's probably later in this year. So I think that we are looking at potentially like a colder climate. I'm not sure like where exactly, you know, in the U.S., like,
I don't know,
that we could do it.
Listen, if the idea was that, like, we can't do a domestic Survivor because, like, it's going to look too familiar, right? Because it's America and we're making TV for Americans, and part of the allure of Survivor is to look like, you know, you're like some completely new territory. Mm-hmm. Survivor just filmed 10 seasons in Fiji. Is that not familiar?
No, so, I think
Survivor could film anywhere.
I mean, you know, yeah, so you're saying that basically...
Get Jeff Probst and, like, you literally lean into the idea of, like, times are crazy, times are strange, you want Survivor, this is Survivor, the essence of the game is the essence of the game. Do it in upstate New York. I know we're not supposed to talk about what happened in upstate New York. Do mm-hmm. it wherever, you know? I think that they could do it. I think that, like, if they still have, like, the same basic elements of you have a host, you have challenges, you have tribal council, you have the twists. There are tons of people who are making their own editions of Survivor all across mm-hmm. America and the world anyway. Why can't the official thing do it as well? I think should we live in a world that is safe enough for the game to even be conducted and knock on all the wood that you got that something like that is capable? I see no reason why that should be off the table.
My question just would be, if you were going to do it within the continental United States, I'm just not sure at the time that you would be looking to do something like that. Say it's September, October, November. Yeah. I'm not sure exactly where you do it, but look, there's no bad ideas right now.
Yeah.
There's some bad ideas. Actually, there's lots of bad ideas right now.
There are bad ideas. Very bad ideas.
Like, look, if you can't get to Fiji, bring the Fiji here.
Bring the Fiji here.
Yeah.
You get Fiji water.
Yeah, Survivor America.
Yeah, Survivor America.
Yeah, look, people would be up for it. Like, oh, I want to see this. Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah,
I think so. And then No, go for it.
Could you do it in like some sort of a national park, but could you keep the drones out? Could you keep like all these like looky-loos?
You know, I have no idea. It's not my area of expertise, but like if you can like, you know, book a filming location somewhere, like, you know, if like Westworld films in like a specific park in Utah or whatever, can you not like lease out the, you know, something like that for 2 months?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is that not impossible? And if we're not even bothering with like calling it Survivor Fiji or anything currently anyway, then the location doesn't really matter to the title and you just get new Survivor. And that's a way to do it. So,
okay. All right. Josh, you know, Wiggler, like, very like flexible on how we get the next Survivor.
Not? Yeah. Why not? You know, I think like for that's not on the list of concerns for me. And it would be different. It would be interesting. It would be, you know, much in Jeff's wheelhouse of like always trying to seize like what's relevant.
Yeah.
What's capturing the zeitgeist, what's capturing the moment. No better way than like to forage ahead with, assuming it is safe to do. And that is key point.
Sure.
Is just, that's the given. You know, what better way to kind of seize the moment of where we are culturally?
Well, I think that this is a very practical approach that you are taking. I think this is not unlike how a lot of sports leagues are looking at, like, say, hey, if we're going to bring baseball back, it's not going to be with fans in the stadiums. It may not be at the regular stadiums, but if you want to have baseball in some way, then we need to make a lot of sacrifices in terms of what is acceptable in terms of a baseball season.
Look, the world's a scary place right now, and I think one of the biggest things that's unnerving about it is like, okay, we're sacrificing a lot to like survive in our current conditions, but then what does it look like afterward? And like, things are going to be different. You know, the world's going to be different and you're going to have to react to the world as it lies. And I think that this is a big challenge that's facing productions, let alone Survivor production. You know, it's just facing so many different industries. And certainly it's something that's at the forefront of my industry, of the TV world. And I think the ones that are going to do the best are the ones that are going to lean into the strange times and start getting inventive. And, you know, I think you're seeing that with a lot of like late night shows that are doing these things from at home. I think, you know, a Survivor at home might be a very different experience than the Survivor that we have currently. But even if they had a good idea for that, I wouldn't be opposed.
Okay.
So I think you just got to be prepared to think really outside of the box in terms of the production angle of any of your favorite shows moving forward.
Okay, interesting. And I had not been thinking, I've been doing a lot of podcasts, I had not been thinking about like, could they do any sort of Survivor in an unconventional location, but yeah.
And I want to give proper credit on that, because I had someone once again slide into my DMs. Oh, come on. Someone literally watching the watching the broadcast right now saying, can I have a shirt? No! You cannot get a shirt. The shirts are done.
Yeah, you can. Go to Kenny's website.
not from me. Yeah, go to Ken You, my printer, or whatever it is off the top of my head. Alexa Nicole was the person on Instagram who brought this to my attention, that you and Shannon had been discussing that a little bit. And I think that's a worthy thought for current Survivor.
Okay. All right.
Modern American Survivor.
All right. Before we get into this week's edition of The Wand Off, let's take a moment and thank our sponsor. Those are our friends over at BetterHelp, who are helping those struggling with any sort of mental health situations that are going on. If you're stuck at home, feeling isolated, worried about the state of things, BetterHelp offers online professional counselors who can help. You can talk to a licensed online therapist and find relief. BetterHelp therapists specialize in issues such as depression, stress, anxiety, relationships, insomnia, family conflicts, and more. You'll connect with your counselor in a safe and private online environment. Anything you share is confidential. Just simply fill out the questionnaire, help assess your needs, and get matched up with a counselor that you'll love in less than 24 hours. And you can schedule secure video or phone sessions with your therapist, plus exchange unlimited messages. Unlimited messages. I mean, they're not going to bite off more than they can chew with me.
No, yeah. Yeah. If unlimited, you take advantage of that. That's like the bottomless bread bowl at the Olive Garden.
Yeah.
You eat it, whether or not it's good for you.
if for any reason
and this is good for you. This is good for you.
For any reason you're unhappy with your counselor, you can request a new one at any time for no additional charge. You can get the professional help when you want it, wherever you are. BetterHelp is a truly affordable option, and our listeners got 10% get 10% off their first month with discount code RHAP. I was able to give it a shot. It couldn't be easier to set up. You just fill out the questionnaire and you get matched up with somebody that you could be talking to in a matter of days. Why not get started today? Go to betterhelp.com/RHAP. That's betterhelp.com/RHAP.
All right.
Stop right there.
What?
Shut the shirk up and just eat your damn rice. It's the Wanda. It's the Wanda forever if you need to. You can straight up leave here, but it'll make you so happy for the rest of your life. If you turn the songs up and turn out to be nice, you ought to know right now. Before you go any further, it's the Wanda. It'll be here forever.
That's right.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay.
Where's Penner?
Where's Stacey? Not here today.
This is not as fun. Yeah. Oh my God. What? Bring Penner into the Wand Off every week from now on. Mm-hmm. How do we go back?
I don't know.
How do we do this? Just the three of us?
Just me, you, and Casey, I guess.
Yeah, how do we do that? How do we do it?
I don't know. We're just going to have to muddle through.
God, all right. Well, I think, like, enough. You know what? This week, like, everyone's going to react to be like, oh, it was good. It was good Wand Off. They're going to be like, oh, it wasn't as good as last week with Penner. But then by next week, they are going to forget about how legendary the Penner one was, and then it'll be back to business as usual. So I think we have to, like, go through, like, a week where we're all sad that it's just the three of us this time.
Yeah.
And then by next week, it'll be back to normal.
Okay. All right.
That's my prediction. Also, Emily Fox texts me just now. Rather than a babe, she tells me that you and I timed our requisite reaction to the Wand Off theme song at 7 p.m. alongside all the people in New York City cheering for the people in the front lines.
That was perfect timing.
So in celebration of everybody who's doing what they can in these crazy, crazy times.
Okay. All right. Let's go back a week to talk about
Let's do it. Can we go back? Can we go back to last week? Can we travel back in time and re-experience it?
Sure. Okay. So last time on
Time Machine only has a few more round trips left in her, so we've got to be very judicious about using that thing.
Okay. Last time on the Wiggle Room, you and I listened to a number of songs. We had a top five, and so in the top five, we let people vote. Jonathan Penner said, "Do not vote for." Aaron Robertson and Nick Fishman. Did the listeners follow suit?
Oh, I guess we're about to find out.
I believe he said, if you, would you like to, do you want to hear that clip again?
Yeah, I would. Of course I would.
Okay.
Of course I would.
Just tweeted it out. Here is, just to go back to, the end of the Wand Off from last week's show. Here is a little bit of that exchange. Okay. Here we go.
Here in Wombats Nation comes to us from Nick Fishman and Aaron Robertson.
Live from their apartments, Nick Fishman and Aaron Robertson.
Wombat Nation, are you ready?
Yeah.
Johnny, can I trust you?
I'm laughing at anticipation of Penner ripping these poor boys apart.
Your sudden proposal was missing a ring. It's like you're on a playground as the swing. Tony, I am your number. Even if you like, Tony, let's fight. So it is 4-3-2 at final night. 4-3-2 at final night. 4-3-2 at final night. 4-3-2 at final night.
Tony, I'm the big for you.
It's coming.
I love tokens, no interest will accrue. I am sure Michelle will be to your plan.
The anticipation is killing me.
You call Michelle Tarzan. Turn this shit off.
Guys, turn it off.
Turn that shit off. Comparing Tony to a playground swing? What kind of lyric is that? And saying that Michelle looks like a shaved Tarzan? Fuck these guys. They didn't even come up with a funny name for themselves. They just called themselves Fishman and Goofer, or whatever they were.
Yes! Drag them!
What?
No.
Drag them!
Get it. No one should vote for them. And you wombat sons of bitches, vote for them just to prove me wrong, to give them a hat. Well, screw this show. That stinks.
Wow. Talk about a mic drop. Wow.
Wow. That is the greatest thing that's ever happened. I'm so happy to have relived it.
All right. Well, let's check
if
in with the voting.
Wombat sons of bitches.
and if you vote for them, well then screw you.
This show. Screw
sons
this
of
show.
Bitches.
Wow. Epic.
Okay.
It's
all
just
right.
As epic the second time.
All right. Did they
love
place?
Got justice. So good.
Did
they place? Yeah.
Place. All right. In third place,
yeah.
It was DJ Mazzy Maz and Palmer Raymond with Extortion.
Yeah. Yeah. Which were the ones that Penner was advocating for? Was Extortion one of them?
That
he was.
He
tried to put his thumb on the scale for two.
Yeah, that was one of them.
Okay.
Then he put his thumb on the scale. He did say in second place, it was Davis comma Will with 21.45% of the vote with Evil Donathan Vampire.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
And then
that was really, really
in first place with 31.87% of the vote, it is a duo, Carrie and Cal, with a Desperado parody.
Tony Vlachos.
Yes.
Looks like you've come to your senses. You beat their defenses. Sent Sophie home.
Oh man.
You there you go. Sorry. Sorry, Aaron and Nick.
You don't win, but you are active participants in the most legendary moment in WandaOff history.
Yes. Wow. So, wow. Okay. All right.
It's up there. Up there.
All right,
top
let's
five,
bring
baby,
in the host
sure.
of the WandaOff, the late, great Casey Kasem. Rob, it's about time. I've been sitting here waiting for 20 minutes to get on the show.
Like, yeah.
Oh, sorry, Casey. Sorry about that.
Well, we gave you time off last week.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know we're going to make you work a little later than usual.
Mm-hmm.
Tonight, but it was your birthday and now it's not.
Josh, are you ready to hear this week's honorable mentions?
Of course.
And Josh, of course, may the 4th be with you.
Ah, sure. Yes. Of course. I was going to say, you're a big Star Wars fan, Casey, and how stupid of me. You literally used the Force to bring yourself to our room every
day. I actually wasn't. I didn't care for the original films, but I really got into the prequels and the last three films that they made.
What was your favorite?
They righted the ship.
What was your favorite of the prequels?
It would have to be Attack of the Clones.
All right. Okay. I thought maybe we were going to. We were close.
Josh, let's kick off this week's honorable mentions with one from Jordan from Vancouver about how Jeff Probst is always a stickler for the rules.
Did you touch it?
I touched it. Oh, shit.
That was from the artist RC Hammer.
That was awesome. It's the simple pleasures of life. Wow. Stupid.
This week, we saw some tension between two guys who were friends earlier this season. Ben and Jeremy were not getting along. Here's a song from another Jeremy, Jeremy B.
It's been a long game, lot of tokens to lend, but no matter what has happened, Jeremy's been a good friend. But that is not enough for Ben Dreebergen, 'cause when Jeremy says what's up, there's no speaking from Ben. There's no speaking from Ben.
Wanda. Wanda Shirk.
That
Sorry,
was
sometimes
from
the spirit moves me.
The great Wiz Khalifa Kiefer and Charlie Herschel Puth. Wiz Khalifa is kind of like the portmanteau name for Lisa Kiefer.
Yeah, I can see that.
Call her Khalifa when we go back through for her TEOS remix.
Are we gonna reference? I guess we've referenced Lisa Kiefer quite a bit. Actually,
Who's the Wiz Khalifa?
Yeah, who's the Wiz Khalifa of any given season of Survivor?
The ultimate is the Wiz Khalifa.
Is the Wiz Khalifa, like, who could have otherwise been the Lisa Kiefer but ended up having, like, a really strong run? Like, luck just broke their way, and so they were able to, like, really wedge in there?
Sure.
Is that the opposite of the Lisa Kiefer? It's the Wiz Khalifa?
Sure.
Okay. It's the successful Wiz Khalifa.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Am I going to remember that when we get to the evolution of strategy? This entire conversation will be forgotten by tomorrow.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. A lot of people keep asking me if you're in for the Evolution of Strategy Volume 4.
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
1,000,000%. 155,000%.
Okay. I get that question
a lot.
I'm
going to let Bloom take it over?
Yeah.
I'm going to let you do it with Shannon?
Okay.
I love them both. But this is your... We're taking this thing for a spin.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Got All tea right. to spill.
Next up is a song from Chet Awesome talking about Kim Spradlin and her temptations this week.
Kim Spradlin was gunning for Tony Wacken. Challenge Tony outlast him. Peanut butter and chocolate she's snacking. What's happening? Kim Spradlin was gunning for Tony Wacken. But in the challenge, Tony outlast him. Peanut butter and chocolate she's snacking. What's happening? Kim Spradlin.
Yeah.
That's from Joe Anglum Exotic.
Hey, did you see the news? Nicolas Cage is going to be Joe Exotic on a TV show?
Is it for real? Like,
yeah.
What is the show? What is the show?
It's real. It's real. It's happening.
Yeah.
They don't have a network for it yet. I believe it's like a CBS TV Studios thing.
Yeah.
We reported it on THR. It was reported on Variety as well. Mm-hmm. That's legit.
Okay.
My boy Nick Cage is going to be Joe Exotic?
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't ask for a better casting.
Mm-hmm. It's huge.
I had a thought. About Kim and the peanut butter. What if this is actually 5D chess on Kim's part and she's stepping off the challenge knowing that she's not going to win the challenge, knowing that she's almost guaranteed to get voted out that night. So let's scarf as much peanut butter as humanly possible so I get to the edge with an edge. And now suddenly have like the Tyson peanut butter powers coursing through my veins. And now Kim is the new front runner at Edge of Extinction because she's got peanut butter power. Fan fiction?
So you want me to talk this through?
No, I'll just keep
going. I mean, the Edge of Extinction Challenge is like 6 days from now. It's like, you know, it'd be like if you had like, you know, a big task to do over the weekend. You're like, hey, I'm going to really, I'm going to eat an extra couple slices of pizza today so I have energy on Saturday.
Does the pizza really give you a lot of extra energy?
I don't know.
To begin with?
I don't know.
As for me, it's worked the other way around.
Yeah. I think the best bet is to sort of stay in the game.
Yeah. Well, I think especially right now, to get voted out now, your shot at getting those tokens is dwindling.
Mm-hmm.
Not like right around now, these are the worst times to get voted out. I think.
Not great. Okay. All right. Next up, Josh, here comes Stacy from Maryland to talk about what went on this week on the Edge of Extinction.
Boston robbed its stand with a note in hand of rules for the tremendous effort challenge that was planned. They've got to carry 20 coconuts back and forth cross Edge of Extinction. Complete by sundown, you have got to go. Be careful, don't slip on the rocks, you might crack your elbow. We're really watching people carry coconuts. Skip the scene, you will not be remiss. We've seen them carry logs. This was another slog. Did we need to spend 7 minutes on this?
I don't know who that artist is.
I believe it was Zazu.
Zazu. Okay.
Yeah, I think Zazu sings that.
Okay.
But then Scar doesn't like that Zazu is singing that. No, Scar likes that one.
Is sure. This going to inspire another sequel song next week?
I don't know.
Okay.
I can't see, again, time travel is low on fuel. We got to be conservative with that.
Josh, let's talk a little about Tony, because the Tony maniacs are running wild this week. Here's Ashley from Illinois to talk about her guy, Tony.
T-V-T-V-T-V. See him running through the jungle on my Wednesday TV screen. Hiding in his new spy nest, not a trace to be seen. Rivals to the left of him, and rivals to the right. He should be gone. He should be dead. But he's there to fight. And I'm Team TV. Tony's dynamite. Team TV. His game is out of sight. Team TV. He will never be slowed. Team TV. Watch him explode.
Yeah. RCGC?
That's from the band ACCC.
Ah! Yes, the fusion of Ace from Survivor Gabon and CC from Survivor Fiji, the season that I was on.
Mm-hmm. And then, Josh, our final honorable mention was all about an unexpected friend Tony made on the island while talking to Ben. Here is Stan Tsai.
I am with you 100%. It was just the night I wanted to make that movie.
Okay.
And I promised you I did not want to hurt you or go with that slide.
I don't think I trust Tony. After the blind side of Sophie, while he talks, something drops, and in a rare moment, he actually stops to ask me what's that on his arm.
arm.
What is that?
Was it a night bird that left that on his arm?
What bird is in the nighttime?
I say it's true.
You just got
the bat really did poo. It pooped on you.
Beautiful. From the great Brian Adam Scott Klein.
I'm a simple man. You make a joke about a bat pooping on Tony Vlachos, yeah, and I laugh at it.
Do you think that Tony really did get pooped on by a bat or a night bird, or do you think that that was just like a clever, like a should like if you're in like a heated argument with somebody and you're like clearly in the wrong, should you just be like in the middle of that, like hold on, did I just get did a bird just pooped on me?
But don't you have to produce the poop? Don't you have to like show the evidence?
Like, did you feel that? Did you feel that? Like, yeah, like, where is it? I just felt something.
I think they're gonna know that you're throwing some shenanigans their way if you can't produce the mark.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have the mark.
Mm.
Otherwise, I don't think it works.
Okay,
so I believe him. I want to believe Tony. I want to believe Tony that he got pooped on by a night bird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Ben said it was karma.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you blindside Sophie, you get pooped on by a bat. Everybody knows that. It's the rule.
It's one for one. Okay.
It's one for one.
All right. Josh, are you ready to hear the top five songs in Wombat's Nation?
Oh, Casey, I do believe that I am.
Okay.
All right.
Every week, the tabulator, Kurt Clark, tabulates up the votes to tell us who's the winner of the weekly Wombat's Hat. It's okay. Not a fedora.
No. I am tempted, even though it was patently rejected by Penner.
What would the
Penner,
Wombat's fedora look like?
I don't know. It's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you put the Wombat logo like on the side of the fedora, so it's not like front and center. Or you put the Wombat like in the crease of the fedora, so it's really like... You gotta have night bird's eye view to even see that it's a Wombat's fedora.
That was another highlight last week where you asked Penner if he would want a Wombat's fedora, and he said
hard pass.
No, that would be terrible. That would be like having a margarita and a mojito. Like I forget what it was combined with a margarita, but it was two things that did not go together.
A year and a half ago, I would have been like, all right, let's do it. That sounds great. Rock on.
Okay.
You know? Let's do it.
Josh, here is song number one in the top five songs in Wombat's Nation. Here's Kevin the Canuck.
Today, you each have a chance to earn fire tokens.
He walks along the rocky shores as people pass him left and right. And every clumsy step he takes, we wonder when he'll realize that he should just go back to camp. And we're like, why is Adam Klein even trying? Competing with endurance athletes, he still got beat by Parvati. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
That was from the band Naked Eyes Oh Eyes.
Oh yeah. I felt for Adam.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I would have been able to get three coconuts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How far do you think he got before he hung it up? Where do you think he hung in there?
I don't know. I think he hung in there for a little while. Mm-hmm. Probably, what else did he have to do?
Was Wendell showing off when he did it right, like right in front of Adam Klein, that he had to have a broad jump right in front of Adam?
No, Wendell's
how
got skill.
How did that happen?
How do you even do a broad jump? Have I ever had the opportunity to try a broad jump?
Mm-hmm.
That's like when you're holding down the Z button and then you jump with Mario in Mario 64. You go real far and that's where it goes, woohoo!
Yeah, is that a Tony noise?
Yeah, that's when he goes super far. That's the butt jump.
Butt jump?
No, the butt stomp is a different jump that he does. That's okay. When he gets up in the air, he does a little twirl, and then he slams down onto the ground. And if there's a Goomba really underneath called? Him. That's what I
Hashtag
always call
butt
it.
Jump?
I think it's called a butt stomp.
Yeah. Can you confirm that with Kenny next time you talk to him?
Yeah, for sure.
All right.
I'll ask him.
Next up, as we're talking about exciting stuff from Tony this week, here comes the amazing Maisie to talk about Tony's latest move. A beautiful song there from the Mikey Beatles. Also,
always a struggle, right?
Yeah, always a struggle.
Always a struggle to get one for the Beatles.
Yeah, if you don't know the half of it. David in the chat says, I believe that's called a ground pound.
Instead of a butt stomp? Yeah. Well, in my house, we call it a butt stomp. We break cannon. We break the cannons with our butt stomp.
Yeah.
No, I do believe it is a ground pound, of course. I just didn't know that it was actually called a ground pound. It's just called it a butt stomp.
All right, you don't have to. You didn't lose your street cred.
What's the long jump that he does? Yeah. If David's still in the room. Love to know. You don't have to read it out loud. I'll see it on the Facebook messages.
How did you just do that butt jump?
I can't believe he did the ground pound.
Okay.
Impressive move.
The number three song here in Wombat's Nation is gonna cause us to go back to our Beatles pun names.
No,
again.
Oh, I guess I didn't know the half of it. Here's the other half.
EJ.
Better bird pooping in the dead of night, covering Tony's arm in crepe so white. Serves him right for flipping last minute on his tightest allies.
And now, this is the time for another undercover operation.
Tony sneaking away from sight, nesting all the way up in a tree. Did he lay any eggs so he can hatch some mini Tony? Those chickadees, Tony Bird, fly.
tribes of the new era.
Right now, my spine has evolved, and now I'm up in the air. It's called the Spy Nest.
There's the Mikey Beatles.
The Mikey Beatles again. They returned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Long jump is just called the long jump, apparently. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what I was referring to, it's when you hit Z and then A, and that's the long jump. I guess I always thought, I keep associating the butt with Mario with the jumping, because like he really does like tend to lead with his butt, I feel like, in the jumps.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very butt-buddy jump.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah.
Josh, the number four song here in Wombat's Nation comes to us from Nick Fishman and Aaron.
Wow.
They were knocked down, but they get
like
back
Chumbawamba,
up.
Much like Chumbawamba, they get up again. Okay.
Here they are to talk about that 50-50 coin.
Okay.
Tony shook it up at top nine, having all the public servants aligned. Tony watches from his aerial hideout. Ben's a fire Jeremy can't put out. Jeremy won't be tempted by some sweets, cause he can't balance on his feet. An awkward end to the endurance game. Not as bad as misspelling Denise's name. Panner, I say you're wrong about our song. Somewhere along you misheard me, and now I'm distracted in this song. Oh, Jeremy, should he flip the coin?
That's really funny.
Was it my diction? Maybe I should enunciate more. Okay, let's try that. All right, I am back on the right track. Since Tony is covering Jeremy's back, Kim is wanting to make a stand, but Michelle has something in hand, an overpriced coin that is far from foolproof. Let's hope it doesn't make him a goof. Oh, you know what? Virtual Ben, please stop. Okay. Nick, okay. You write beautiful lyrics, but there are way too many syllables sometimes in phrases. You know what? It's no wonder that Penner can't understand what we're saying, because I don't understand what I'm saying half the
time.
And wait, aren't I goofer now? So shouldn't the lyric be goofer and not goof? Anyway, we're going to end the wand off here. This is Goofer signing off. We're Nick Fishman and Goofer. Hope you all have a wonderful week and see you later. Okay, bye.
Wow, it really went off the rails, huh?
That was from the band The Dre Herd. The Frey, not easy either. This is
the
not
Jessica Frey.
A Game of Thrones podcast.
The Jessica Frey.
Yeah, yeah.
Did hilarious.
Aaron Robinson throw Nick Fishman under the bus there?
Yeah, Nick, you're in trouble, man. Double burn. Burned twice.
Yeah.
Wow. Aaron, you win one wombat hat, and you think you could just, like, scorch your buddy here.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty messed up.
Okay. And then the number five song here in Wombat's Nation comes to us from Davis, Will. It's all about Kim Spradlin.
This challenge might hurt, babe, if it takes too long. It took 6 hours for T-Bird. Oh, oh. But on Winners at War, they've only stood by their water towers for like a quarter hour. Now Jeff has a tray of food, chocolate and peanut butter too. He feels a little sorry for Ben, that he's not still in. They just left him for cookies, for staying for immunity. But guess what? Kim wanted PB.
That's from the great B. No Wind Sink.
Wow.
You can vote all week long for the top five songs here in Wombat's Nation. Only two spots left in the coveted final wand off. We'll reveal one next week here in the Wiggle Room.
Okay. We'll do that.
Of course, you can hear the entire SoundCloud playlist for this week over on the Rob as a Podcast Patreon, as compiled by the great top five human, Randy Neupel.
Yes, Randy!
And you can check out Wand Off music videos from the great Jason Curtis Rivera.
Yeah, Jason!
So, Josh Wiggler, until next time, it's your boy, Casey Kasem, signing off. Don't forget to keep your feet on the ground and your hands off the table.
Yeah, okay, Casey!
All right, there you go. This week's baby. Wand off in the books.
All right, it's happened.
Yeah, this guy's got off easy. You don't know what Penner would have thrown out.
Oh, whew. I mean, having a Penner element really is a dangerous quality in the wand off.
Mm-hmm.
Like to have like Penner show up and like not play nice, and he's just going to call it like he sees it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's dangerous.
It's dangerous.
A lot safer this week.
It's wild. Should we have that for the final wand off? That's too high stakes to have a guess.
Ooh, that's really high stakes. I think that's pretty high stakes.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. High stakes. This is future stuff.
All right. Yeah, so we'll keep. We're
plugging away at the ideas.
All right.
Plumb the depths.
All right. There you go.
Is that what you do with the depths? Do you plumb them?
Plumb is that the depths.
Term? You plumb the depths.
I don't know.
I think that you plumb them.
I don't know. Is that like Mario's a plumber? Okay. All right.
Sometimes he goes swimming.
Josh, I know you're working on a bunch of different things. What do you have going on right now?
There's so much happening. Westworld just ended its third season. The season 3 finale aired on Sunday night, so I've got some coverage of that up over at Yon Hollywood Reporter. Not to be confused with Bronze Yon Hollywood Reporter. And I've got some podcast coverage coming your way with Joe Garfine and I. We are going to be recording Tuesday morning our recap of the Westworld finale, coming your way a little bit late, but that is on its way, so get your feedback in. By the time you're listening to this, it's too late to get your feedback in, but you could have gotten your feedback in westworld@postshowrecaps.com. Mm-hmm. So that podcast is dropping. Jessica Lease and I already recorded and released our Killing Eve Season 3 Episode 4 podcast over at Post Show Recaps. 'Twas a big one.
Yeah.
It was a very big Killing episode. Eve. Yeah. A spoilery one. So a fun conversation with Jess. And then this week on Everything is Super, the Marvel Cinematic Universe rewatch, Kevin Mahadeo and I are going to be talking about Captain America, the first Avenger,
mm-hmm.
the Cap guys, both Kevin and I. So I think
sure.
it's going to be a fun
How
show.
Could you not be?
How could you not be? And then on the Lost podcast, on Down the Hatch, Mike Bloom and I are going to be on maternity leave. That's the name of the episode. It's maternity leave.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. And then Ken and I were not able to record the Final Fantasy VII Remake podcast last week. That's completely on me. We had that scheduled to record on Friday night. Friends, I just got to the end of the week. I was like, I need a break. I'm podcasting a lot right now. I just need to take a nap. I just need to call it early. I need to unplug. So that didn't happen. But the FF7 Remake podcasting is sporadically occurring. Mm-hmm. It's not on any set schedule. So we're still we're going to push forward as often as we can. We've got the link to the Discord up if you want to join our FF7 Remake Discord. Rob, do you use Discord?
So I had in the past, and then it was just like another thing for me to check.
I love it.
You love,
I love
it.
I love it. I'm trying to think of some fun things that we can be doing with Discord in the future. Because I think it's basically like it's like a chat room hangout.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it's kind of like real time stuff. You know, Facebook.
You know, the thing is for me, I don't want to chat.
I kind of enjoy it. It's weird. I used to think that I really didn't like it.
I got enough things distracting me. I don't want to be chatting.
No, I kind of like it. I think
all I do is chat all day.
Yeah, I like the Discord. I think the Discord's good. So I'm thinking of some uses for the Discord moving forward. So if you've never heard of what a Discord is, maybe look into it. We may have some stuff on that end and at some point in the future. Mm-hmm. But then there's the Top Chef podcast, the incredible panel of myself, Emily Fox, Haley Strong, Antonio Mazzaro, Curtis Clark, and @AMikeBloomType rallying together to talk about Top Chef. I believe that the plan, because this week coming up is Restaurant Wars, which is sort of like
Whoa.
The merge of Top Chef. At least it's like sort of like the pinnacle episode of any given Top Chef season, or most given Top Chef seasons, that the game plan is we are actually going to, and we always, we record these as videos just like so that everybody's like keeping track of each other, and also because we love each other very much and we have a really good time and it feels like family. And so we have a blast recording them on video, but we only release the audio. The game plan as it stands is we are going to do our Restaurant Wars recap live.
Whoa.
In the RHAP patron group on Saturday morning, roughly around 11 a.m. Eastern. Mm-hmm. So if that sounds fun to you, clear your schedule. That's the game plan, pending technical difficulties, which are possible.
And that's anything.
You know, that's anything. But that's the game plan, is we're gonna do that one live. Probably the only one we'll do live this season.
Yeah.
But it'll be fun. It'll be fun.
I do have a quick update that I had tweeted out before we came on, the clip from last week's episode with Penner. And I said, can anything on tonight's new episode of The Wiggle Room top Survivor Penner's mic drop last week with Brown Howard and me? Penner has responded and said, please don't make me answer.
What a good sport. He was a good sport.
Yeah. Great. Yeah. All right. So
it's locked in with us for an hour and a half.
Definitely check out everything that Josh is working on. If you missed any of the Survivor podcasts this week, we had great ones with Ozzy, Shannon Gus, Mary Kwiatkowski joined us on This Week in Survivor. And we've got a lot coming up this week as well. 2-hour episode, we're going to be adding some more podcasts into the mix. I'm going to talk with PG Law this week.
Yeah.
Okay. You're a friend of mine, PG Law.
Yes.
Mike Bloom on the Feedback Show. And I'm scheduled to catch up with Chris Underwood this week. So see what he thinks.
That's awesome. That's fun. That's
great.
See
what he thinks about as we...
He's a really good guy. And he's a diehard Survivor fan even before he was a Survivor player. So I'm sure he's going to have awesome takes about the season.
Yeah. So we'll find out what he's seeing in terms of who could be coming back from the edge in the finale.
Cool. That's great. That's great. Okay.
All right. So there we go with all of that. Of course, that we are still continuing to raise money for directrelief.org, that I have extended the deadline. If you want to become one of the patrons of Rob as a Podcast, those patron contributions and a matching the matching contribution from myself will be sent to directrelief.org. Not sure when exactly to make the cutoff for that, but we're still going for a little bit.
Cool.
I think through this week.
Okay, great.
We're trying to get to $10,000 raised between the new patrons and my matching contributions to match over $10,000 raised on the GoFundMe.
That's awesome. That's amazing.
Okay.
You're great people out there, and you are great people too, Rob.
Of course, don't forget News AF coming this week as well on Tuesday before we get back into it with Stephen Fishback and the Survivor Know-It-Alls on Wednesday night. Don't forget to follow the great at Round Howard on Twitter and Instagram. Are you still prolific on Instagram?
I slowed down a little bit.
Slowed down a little bit.
Just the last couple of days. I had a pretty blah week last week, so I just didn't feel, I wasn't really feeling myself.
Okay.
You know, just feeling a little fatigued.
Okay, but, well...
Tonight, I'm really feeling myself, so who knows?
Okay, all right. Good to hear.
Yeah.
All right, then patron trivia is coming up for you guys who are watching us live here, about an hour and 20 minutes to go. So patron trivia, so be on the lookout for that. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Tony Vlachos. Looks like you've come to your senses. You beat their defenses. Sent Sophie home. Oh, you're a sly one. You might just be on the right track. You better get in your swash shack. Find out what's going on. Denise and Kim are on to you. They'll threaten your survival. See, they both know you're not Jeremy's real friend. Though you've won immunity and you're sitting on an idol, none of them will want to take you to the end. Tony Vlachos, some think you're mad as a hatter. Climb that rickety ladder.
straight to the Final Four. You've had a hard one. You were extorted for tokens, but you charged on unbroken, like a winner at war. Yeah, you charged on unbroken, like a true unicorn.
All right, now we are joined by Dave Mason from BetOnline.ag. Dave, we can finally talk about some fights. UFC 249 is going to happen. Let's just start with that, man. Does it feel good to get back to some normalcy?
No, absolutely. And, you know, as I've told you before, UFC is one of my favorite sports, so makes it even better. Been waiting a long time here for some real sports action, and it's a great card, too. And three cards within a week, it's looking like, so we're excited.
Hey, Dana was just talking about adding a fourth. I mean, if he adds a fourth, not only is that four cards to look forward to, but on an average of 10 fights per card, I mean, if you're a fight fan, you got a busy month ahead.
Oh, absolutely. I can't wait. Finally put my Netflix machine on the back burner and watch some sports again. I can't wait.
All right, well, let's start with the main event. I mean, it's going to be for an interim world title fight. You're talking about Justin Gaethje versus Tony Ferguson. Before we get in the odds of it, this fight is different now that it's May 9th as opposed to April 18th. In this way, Justin Gaethje accepted that fight on very short notice. And even though he was training and kind of keeping his weight down, it's totally different to have a signed contract and really be pushing and motivated. The mere fact that they've given him three extra weeks to train, that does change how this fight looks. Do you agree?
No, 100%. You know, those short notice fights are always a tough one for you fighters, obviously, and we recognize it in the odds and the results. When the Khabib fight got canceled and he had to pull out and they replaced him with Justin Gaethje, I wasn't too disappointed. Sure, I want to see Khabib versus El Kakoui, no doubt. But, I mean, you know, from a fan standpoint, just a good old slugfest, it's not going to get any better than this one, man. I can't wait. You know, we had Tony Ferguson at minus 172 favorite. He's, what, won 12 fights in a row. And Justin Gaethje off a three-fight win streak, he's a plus 147 underdog. So I can't wait for this one. Just as a fan of the sport and a fan of competition, it doesn't get any better than this. There's no way this fight can be boring. It's impossible.
Dana White just did an interview. He was promoting this fight, and he said, "I guarantee you this will be the most violent fight you've ever seen." And that was a very interesting word. I've never heard him use that word. So I was sitting back and pondering, what exactly does that mean, and do I agree? And you know what? I think he used the right word. This is going to be chaos and violence in a controlled area for up to 25 minutes.
No, absolutely. I mean, you look at Ferguson with those elbows. I mean, his pointy elbows and his nonstop pace moving forward. Then Justin Gaethje and how he hits so hard and he goes in there and balls to the wall. I mean, it's not going to be any kind of strategy, feeling each other out stuff. These guys are going to be going at it, swinging for the fences. Both guys are going to be bleeding. The mat's going to be soaked with blood. I can't wait.
All right, so give me a line on it. What's BetOnline thinking about this fight? I imagine they're favoring Tony.
Yep, Tony's minus 172. The take back on Gaethje is plus 147.
That's all? That's all?
Yeah.
Negative one, that's close. That's close odds.
Yeah, I mean, it's gone down and up a little bit. It was, you know, down to about minus 150 the other day. So it's going up and down. You know, Gaethje, he just hits so darn hard, and he's on a three-fight win streak. He's hot. You know, it's going to be one of those fights. I think it comes down to cardio, and Tony gets hit, too. He's awesome. He's one of my favorite fighters, but he has been known to take a couple hits to the face. So if Gaethje can catch him, you don't know. You know, he's been knocked down plenty, Ferguson. But I think Ferguson takes it in deep water with that relentless cardio, and that's what I'm counting on for a fourth, fifth round stoppage.
All right, so we got another title fight. The current champion, Triple C, Henry Cejudo, is going to take on former champion, Dominic Cruz. You go first on this one, but then you got to let me give you my opinion because I think I have an interesting take. Take it away.
Oh, good. You know, Dominic Cruz, maybe the best fighter at that weight class ever, arguably. Henry Cejudo, man, the way he's poured it on the last couple of years, he's just become, you know, he's always had that potential being a former Olympic gold medalist, and he's really put it together the last year and a half, 2 years. since he beat Demetrius Johnson. Oh, boy. I mean, I have to – Cejudo is a minus 225 favorite, and I'm going to be on him. I mean, Cruz, he's been off – his last win was almost 4 years ago. I mean, that's just such a long time. And, he came back. He fought those three fights. He looked okay, but he didn't look like the dominant Dominic Cruz of old. So, that 4 years off is just too much for me. I'm going to be on Cejudo, and who's peaking, and he looks better than ever.
All right, Dave, I am not ready to part with my money. I'm not even ready to publicly predict an upset here. However, this has all the makings of an upset. This is a stylistic problem to the highest of levels for Henry. Look, you can tell me on paper that Henry's a better wrestler, and you would be right. He was the Olympic champion. He was the greatest wrestler alive. But you can't show me a whole bunch of his fights where he's ever effectively used his wrestling.
Yep.
I only bring that up because with Dominic's footwork and Dominic's ability to control range, to peck away at you, in many ways, I think you could agree with me that wrestling is not going to be the solidifier in this contest. So if wrestling's not, that only leaves the striking, and Dominic Cruz has only been outstruck one time in his life, and it was a huge shock. So if we're to use history, use the body of work of these two athletes, and agree that there's largely going to be stand-up, that's Dominic's world. In my opinion, this is all the makings for potential upset. That's all I'm saying.
I love it. Opposite sides. Let's do it.
Okay, so I don't know if you guys are taking action on this one, but I'm going to assume you are because it's Ngannou versus Rozenstrike. That was scheduled to be a main event, so I'm guessing that BetOnline is looking at it. Am I right?
Oh, we have all odds on all the fights. Absolutely. Ngannou's currently minus 285 favorite. Take back on Rozenstrike is plus 240. And holy God, is this going to be what a matchup this is. I mean, talk about heavy hitters, two just giants of men, two big heavyweights. I can't wait for this one. Rozenstrike, he's got a great chin. I don't think anybody hits harder than Ngannou, but Rozenstrike has a heavy chin, and so there's some live dog action there, plus 240. Sometimes it just comes down to who lands that big shot first. And Ngannou, I sometimes question his cardio, so if he swings himself, punches himself out early and it's going into second or third round, I favor Rozenstrike there. I think he can keep moving forward like he did his last fight.
And see, that's interesting you bring that up because this is another fight. Because of the change of date, it changes the complexity of the fight. This was originally going to be a main event, which means it was originally going to be a potential of 25 minutes. Now that it's down the card, it's got a maximum of 15 minutes. And to your point about Ngannou, who does have a little bit of cardio issues, I mean, that's just a reality when you're packing that much muscle around. In many ways, the lower placement favors Ngannou.
Absolutely. I mean, the five-round fight, absolutely. I mean, I don't think those guys can make it in the fourth or fifth round, but the three-round fight absolutely favors Ngannou more than it would in a five-round fight. Either way, he's a legitimate favorite, but I just like that. I like that live dog money on plus 240 on Rozenstrike.
All right, let's talk about the rematch. Anthony Pettis, Showtime, taking on the Cowboy. Donald Cerrone, is this too much too soon for Cowboy?
I think it is. I mean, especially with his comments that came out the other day where he wasn't mentally into the McGregor fight a few months ago. He didn't look good and he didn't fight well, and he confirmed it this week. I don't know if that was just him talking whatever, but he's fought so much, man. I mean, there's no tougher guy in the sport, but he's just coming to an end, I think. You know, you see it with these guys sometimes, and he's just been on he hasn't won much lately. And Pettis, I've never been a big Pettis fan, but he's impressed me the last few fights. He's one of those guys who I think had always had all the talent, but I kind of questioned, his mindset and heart sometimes. And again, heart for a fighter, because I don't have half the heart this guy does. But he's looked a lot tougher, and he's been in some real wars lately. So I just think Pettis deserve favor. He's minus 136 right now. Take back on Cerrone. He's plus 116, but I don't know. Cerrone's just has not looked good the last few fights. Tough as hell, sure, but he's going down, I think.
I went back and I rewatched that first fight. Dave, it wasn't competitive in the least. Pettis came out. He hit him with what they called a kick to the body, but it almost looked like a knee, like more of the knee hit. I mean, it's just a really hard shot that would stop a fight, and Cerrone was too tough to stop. He tried to push through it, but it was all downhill from there. Pettis kind of peppered him with a couple of punches, came back to that exact same shot, that exact same kick, and the exact same part of the body. I had a weird takeaway. Even though I can tell you as a guy that just rewatched this, that was not close. That was not competitive. It was still one of those nights where you look at Pettis and you go, good job, congratulations, but I need to see that again. You made that look so easy that I'm not sure that my eyes are telling me the truth. I need to see that fight again. Is that too big of a stretch for me?
No, I mean, let's run it back, right? You know, both are definitely past their prime. And that was right before I think Pettis won the belt, I believe. So that's right when he was at his peak. But yeah, let's run it back. Two guys are legends, and let's run it back. You know, I just think Pettis has a little bit more in him right now, and Cerrone is just been getting beat up too. You know, he's been taking a beating too, and I don't like to see that in these fighters once they start losing that chin and start going down a lot.
No, I hear you. Look, as a fighter, you're never done with this sport, but you will wake up one day and this sport is done with you. And I don't know that either one of these guys is in that spot. I don't wish that for him, but that is a reality that might unfold in front of us on May 9th.
Absolutely. We'll find out, and it's a great card. I can't wait.
Dave, I appreciate you, buddy. I miss talking to you. I'm glad we finally have something to catch up on. Thank you, pal.
Thank you, sir. Take care.